mean, I can't squat down and, you know, get back up. Well, anyway, it hurt. Is that thing on already?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's ready.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows about me now.
Yeah, everybody.
I'm actually used to that.
We'll set you up one of those GoFundMes. Get you a taller boot seat.
There you go. Hey, yeah, that was a real guffy subject, wasn't it?
You ready, brother? Amen. Let's good be announced, Lord. Let's take our hymn books and open to the front cover. Jesus is coming soon. And let's stand when we get there, please. Trouble sometimes are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now's at stake. Open your hearts to God, save from the chastening rod. Heed the way pilgrims trod, Christians awake. Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon, many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. All the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the sky. Going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Love of so many cold, losing their home of gold. Listen, God's word is told, evils abound. When these signs come to pass, nearing the end at last, it will come very fast, trumpets will sound. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon, many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Number 3. Troubles will soon be o'er, happy forevermore, when we meet on that shore, free from all care. Rising up in the sky, tell them the world goodbye. Onward we then will fly, glory to share. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All the dead shall rise, rising up in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for this night, Lord, to be able to come back to your house again. Thank you for your services you gave us earlier today, Lord. We pray you continue to work on our hearts, Lord, and change us, be more like you. We pray you to remove us from our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Let's turn to page number 7. I gave my life for thee. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou my ransom be, and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me?
My Father's house of light, my glory's circle throne. I left her earthly night for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee, and as the living for me. I left it all for thee, as thou left God for me. Number three. I suffered much for thee, more than my tongue can tell. A bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? And
number four.
And I have brought to thee down from my home above salvation pure and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought?
Number four again. Let's do it again.
And I have brought to thee down from my home above salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me?
Amen.
Brother, you got a fire song?
Yes, we do. Let's do the fire song, 66. How's that?
That sounds good, brother.
Amen.
Page 66, everybody. The fire has never gone out. The flame has kindled a little bit over the years, but it's still burning. Amen.
Amen.
Whoops. Whoa, son.
Don't do that.
Oh, yeah. You know, it hadn't done that in years. It's been years.
It's been a while.
But all of a sudden, it's done.
Keeping you on your toes.
Yeah. Moving around a lot. You know, just. I caught it, though. Thank you, Lord. I like my little guitar the church got. Amen. Okay. I shall not forget the day when I heard my Savior say, Savior in. There he forgave me of my sin. Started a fire burning so bright way down in my soul, and it's never gone out. It's never gone out. Oh, Satan has tried many times to make me down, but when I feel that warmth, soul is satisfied. Flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. Since Jesus kindled the flame, things have changed. No, I'm not the same. He lit the fire with his great eternal love. Down in my soul now there is peace, joy that will never, never cease. God for holy fire from heaven above. It's never gone out.
Take our hymn books and turn to page number 377, Rescue the Perishing. Page number 377, Rescue the Perishing. And let's stand, please. For the singing of God's music.
Right. For the reverence.
I'll tell you, I'm sorry, I'm just so slow. But
fine. Oh, you good, brother?
Funnel pistols, whatever. Okay, put my glasses on. I wear glasses, but I forget to put them on.
You got them right in your neck. You don't get a whole lot of good lighting right there, though.
I can't say I can't find them because they're hanging around my neck.
Yeah. That's right. Fanny Crosby didn't even need eyesight, brother, to write this. So,
oh, amen.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Amen.
Here we go.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. We poor, the erring ones, lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Number 3. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Number 4. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Drink for thy labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wonder a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
If you're willing and able while you're still there standing, let's turn over to page number 328. I heard Brother James singing or playing it earlier. 328, I want that mountain. Amen.
You want to do this, brother? I don't want that one.
All right, brother. We can do it. We can do it. Amen. 328, I want that mountain. Amen. Don't forget it now. It's our mountain. He gave it to us, and we get to climb it. Amen. But we get to claim it anyway.
Amen.
Amen.
I saw the giant of prayerlessness upon the mountain high. He laughed too hard at my unbended knee. No longer in the wilderness I'll stay, and so I cry. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain. Where the milk and honey flow, where the grass covers to grow, I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. There was a giant laziness who said I wouldn't go, and witness to the one who set me free. I'll come from out the wilderness, I'll witness now I know. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Esco grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me.
Verse 3.
One faithless giant upon the crest of Hebron's lofty height has vowed that he's the one to make me flee. I'll climb from out the wilderness and trust Jehovah's might. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Esco grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. Let every kind of distress and unbelief and sin get ready now to vacate, for you see I've come from out the wilderness, I know I'm going to win. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Esco grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me.
Amen. I thought Brother Richard did a great job. Amen. He said he didn't know that song. Amen. Oh, it does, and especially since it's got the bird's eye right there off the beginning, you get to say one word and you're going to pause on it. Amen. But I'm thankful. Brother Stephen, if you could, let's hit number 10 and mute that, and that'll mute the pulpit mic, and I'll just come over here to the tie mic, and we'll get it going. I do have the CD playing. Amen. Contact with my pocket, it would actually move the screen, because I can touch it and zero in on me or zero in on anyone that it's facing. All right, and so now with that, I will tell you I'm not using that mic on my phone. The only mic that we're going to use is on the camera tonight, and see how that works. And you say, preacher, what's so important about that? Well, if Allie burps, they're going to hear it. But here's the bad thing: if Brother James back there burps, they're going to hear it too. All right, it's very sensitive, and so it's going to hear you lipping the preacher. Amen. That's why I did that. Amen. I'm like, well, let me put it amongst them. Let them lip me a little bit, and boy, I'll know what to preach next Sunday, won't I? Amen. Isaiah 55, Isaiah chapter number 55. I hope you've had a good afternoon. Lord sure is good. Boy, I tell you, it's been beautiful. Just thankful for how God touches and moves. I'm going to pick us up back again over in Isaiah 55, and I don't know that I don't need to just, let's just go to verse number 10, and we're going to look at verse number 10. I think we'll be all right from there. So Isaiah 55, verse number 10, and we'll stand for the reading of God's Word. If Brother Richard can get you to stand for the reverence of God's singing, amen, then we'll get you to stand for the reverence of the reading of God's Word. Isaiah chapter number 55. I might read verse 11 too while we're here. Verse number 10. The Bible says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Amen. I'm glad God sent us His Word. Amen. I'm glad that He gave it. Boy, I'm thankful about the salvation it produces. But then I'm just thankful tonight as we look at the bread for the eater. I'm thankful for how He didn't just save us. Amen. He kept us. Amen. And supplies all of our needs. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this evening. Lord, an opportunity once again to hear Your promises. Lord, I do pray that You would meet with us tonight.
Lord, just speak to us through your word. Encourage us, Lord, as only you can. And Father, I pray that you'd give me clarity. Help me to preach this, Lord. Father, so often this world and Satan has all these ideas of what we need, but Lord, none of them really quench our need. None of them really satisfy what we're looking for, but you do. And Lord, I'm thankful you gave us bread to the eater. Father, help us tonight. Do your will and have your way. And I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Amen. Notice, if you would, over here in verse number 10, we think here of God's supply. Of course, this morning we had looked at seed for the sower. Tonight we're looking at the bread for the eater and just how He cares for us. We could go back over to verse number 2 of this same chapter, and we look here and we realize, in fact, let's just look at verse number 1 and 2 together and look at these for a moment. In verse number 1, he says in chapter 55 now of Isaiah, verse number 1, he says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and ye that hath no money." I like that. Amen. "Ye that hath no money, come ye, buy." Now hold on, I have no money. He said, "Come ye, buy, and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Notice verse 2. "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Now, I can't help but think of this and how often we waste our time. He's talking about you've labored and it really hasn't satisfied you. You know, you're not happy with what you've got at the end result. And he goes on and he's talking about, we've spent all this money on things that really aren't bread. But what did God say He was going to give us? He said He'll give bread to the eater. And yet we go out and boy, we can waste a fortune. We can waste so much time. Of course, the Bible says redeem the time. Why? Why would God say redeem the time? Because the days are evil. Amen. Boy, we are, and we're in that. Listen, folks, if we haven't recognized how wicked and how evil the days are that we live, all you've got to do is pinch yourself a minute, wake up out of this dream, and look around. We are in some evil days. Amen. And boy, we can begin to focus and we can begin to waste so much time and so much money on things that are not bread. And yet I find here that God says that He'll supply it. This world is looking for something better, are they not? You look at the agenda, you look at the direction of everyone that's out there in motivating someone to do something. I don't care if it's the religious realm. Boy, they're looking for something better. And you can have better, and you can have better. May I tell you, there's nothing better or no one better than the Lord. Amen? We could go over to the book of Hebrews and we understand how much better He really is and how much better His salvation is than anything that was found in the Old Testament for us to look at. And yet I still find that there's people that put them, and they might not fall under the religious laws of the priests and the Levites and the people of Israel or the children of Israel, but they put themselves under new religious practices in trying to supply and trying to satisfy, and it doesn't. Amen? And then I look here and I find that the children of God are here. You say, how do you know that? Because we're all guilty of trying to buy and try to get satisfaction from it. Listen, we all live in this world. But there isn't anything that you have that's going to be satisfying down the road. I don't care if you go out and buy a brand new vehicle. May I tell you, the first time you pay that payment, it's not as satisfying as it was when you first got it. Amen? It's just not. You can have a new home. You can have all of these things. You can even sit down for a meal and say, boy, that was satisfying, and realize how fast it's gone. It's really not satisfying at all. Amen? You're going to have to eat again, are you not? Amen? Anyone in here plan on not eating again? No, we all plan on it. Why? Because, it might have held us over a little while. But I'm thankful for a Savior that when He gives us bread to the eater, He gives us bread that's going to last. Amen. It's something that we're not going to have to worry about running out there and finding the next meal. And we've got bread for the eater. And so notice, if you would, here in his giving, I look, and I know this may seem pretty simple, but I think it's a thought that we overlook so often. This supply is to be consumed. Amen. And Brother Richard, I know you're quite a bit younger than I am. But growing up, when I grew up, my mom had these and my grandma had these, and sometimes they'd throw them on the table, but they weren't for eating. They were these little bitty grapes. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That were like rubbery. Because you say, preacher, how do you know that they were rubbery? Sometimes I'd pick them off just to play with them. Amen. Now, you hid that part. But the, you know, and then they'd have some, maybe they'd even have some apples that were, they were kind of rubbery. You know what I mean? They weren't edible at all. And so they would set them up there. And you say, preacher, what was the purpose? About like that flower. It was nothing more than decoration. Amen. Anyone, Allie, you hungry? You want to come? They don't even smell good. Say, preacher, you can spray some essential oil on it. Shut up. Amen. We're not spraying nothing on these. But that'll give them a smell. That'll give them a smell, all right. But may I tell you that God gave us this. Who did he give the bread to? The eater. That means it's going to be consumed. He didn't supply it so it could sit there and look pretty. May I just chase a rabbit for a moment? Do you know where most people have their Bible? I think about homes, and maybe it's not as big today, maybe it's not as fashionable today, but it used to be the fact that they would have this great big Bible sitting here in the center of a living room or a coffee table, and it would be the family Bible. This family Bible's been passed down from generation to generation. And boy, this was my grandmama's, it was her mama's, and then it passed down to me, and then it passed down, and boy, I plan on giving it. And you say, preacher, are you preaching against having a family Bible? Not at all. But it does absolutely no good as decoration. God gave it to be consumed. Amen. And so as I look here and I just think about this simple little thought, it was a supply that was to be consumed. And so I look and you say, well, preacher, what is this bread? I look at it as the Word of God. I look here in Psalm chapter 119 and verse 11. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against you. I've shared it before and I'll share it again. It's always amazed me as we go to the nursing home, and I miss that ministry, but as we go to the nursing home, we would no doubt preach a passage of Scripture that eventually someone would have heard and knew. And there was one lady, I remember Jonathan one time, he was preaching out of Psalm 23, and he was only using one or two verses out of it, and she starts quoting the entire chapter of Psalm 23. You say, preacher, what's so important about that? It's not that long of a chapter. It's not. But she couldn't tell me what she just ate an hour ago. She couldn't tell me necessarily what her name was or who I was that she just seen last week. She didn't know. But she knew that. Why? Because the Word of God had been hid. She had memorized it. And I'm thankful that, listen, our old body's going to wear out and our memory's going to go. But he didn't say put it in your head. He said put it in your heart. Amen. And so as I look and I think about what's taking place here, even Jesus had told Satan in the temptation when Satan had came and tempted him in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse 4, it said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Why is it to be consumed? Because this is what we live by. Amen. This is it. This is what we have. And boy, we can take it and we can consume it. And it is that nutrition that we need so desperately. And it was supplied for us not to sit by, not for us to have it as a decoration, not for us to just think about and carry around. I'll be honest with you. I've carried this old Bible around for years. It's getting in some pretty sorry shape. And you say, preacher, you should take care of your Bible. You know the problem is we're too worried about taking care of it instead of reading it. Amen. I'm not trying to be ugly, but we have this thought of, I don't want to tear it up. And I know that putting things in here is bad for the binding. And I've taken and I've rebound it myself. You say, preacher, do you know how to do that? It was called, my Bible was falling apart. I needed something. Amen. You say, well, just get another Bible. I know Brother Richard has a Bible in every vehicle. May I tell you that when I die, my eldest son has already requested for my Bible. He said, Dad, I want your Bible. And you say, preacher, it's because of all the notes that you have in there. I don't have a whole lot of notes. I have a whole lot of verses underlined. Now, I've seen people where they underline or they highlight every verse. Kind of makes it pointless, doesn't it? Amen. But that's fine. That's on them. But I've got some things where God spoke to me, and I'll put some little notes out there. Why? Because, boy, I've just enjoyed it. I've had His Word. God, I've opened the mind of God. Listen, folks, if we'd ever come to the place where we would get excited, kind of like that anticipation for the next harvest, if we'd get excited about the fact that God spoke to me.
Yeah.
Amen. And so I look and I find that it was supplied to be consumed, God's Word. But then I think about God's ways. Now, Jesus had told Satan, He had said that, but every word, you're not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so when I think of Jeremiah chapter number 6 and verse 16, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. It does no good. Listen to me. I know I hit this, it was probably last week. I can preach till I'm blue in the face about what God says and what's right and what's wrong. But until we'll walk therein, you'll have no rest. Amen. It was supplied so that we could adhere to it, so that we could enjoy it. Amen. And may I tell you, one of the blessings that God has in the bread that He gives to the eater is rest. Peace. You remember that? We looked at that this morning in verse number 12. That we can have joy and that we can have peace. May I tell you, you'll never have peace walking contrary to the way that God has set out for us to walk. He gave bread to the eater. Amen. Well, may I tell you that while you're along that way, that bread that He gave to the eater, speaking about the Word of God, will be that directs the path. Amen. And it's going to give you rest. You're going to be satisfied in it. Boy, I tell you, there's nothing more miserable. I think about our two little puppies. I think about Hunter and Riley. What you need is a leash. And if you'll beat one really good, the other one won't want it. Amen. So just pick off every other day, you know, which one you're... You know, Jacob's dog was, most of the time, now Jacob says that he couldn't give me grandchildren, so he gave me a grandpuppy. Amen. I'm not a dog's dad. I have them, but I'm not their daddy. I'm not their granddaddy. Amen. But we have him, or have her, most of the time along with Hero, and I'm working on training them, working on getting them at least obedient. All right, I don't like a dog to come up and jump on me. You say, preacher, why is that? Because it's cute when they're this size. It's not cute when they're this size. I got a lab or a golden retriever. If he jumps on you, he's going to knock you down. Amen, especially most folks, so I don't let them do that. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Now, Charlotte the other day, I just simply have a command that they know, and it's here. Here. You say, preacher, I mean, I don't think that that's too much to ask. Now, Charlotte, here. Charlotte, here. And you know what she did? She sat there and looked at me. Now, listen, she knows. And she also knew she was in trouble. Because when I walked up towards that deck and she wouldn't come to me, and she, you know what she did? She went and hid. And I went and got the paper. You said, preacher, I cannot believe you'd spank that little puppy. Listen, that little puppy turned 12 weeks old today. That both of those little puppies will sit when I tell them to sit. Amen. It's not because I beat them. It's because I loved on them. But I loved them enough to correct them. Amen. Hey, listen, you know what Hero did? I'm telling you, if I even get the... of here out, he's right here. Amen. He's like, I don't want that. Hey, no, I didn't beat her bad. I did not. It's a little paper. It's not going to hurt her. But I definitely tapped her backside with it. Amen. And she yelped a little bit. And she, you know what she does now? She comes. Amen. Here. Well, she's here. She said, preacher, what are you getting at? It's frustrating to me to have to put a dog on a leash so that I can go here and they're going because they're not wanting to come here. Amen. I wonder what it is to our Savior that gave His life on the cross and He says, come here, child. And we go, huh, I don't want to go that way. Amen. And then we go and we tuck tail and we hide because we know we're wrong. You say, preacher, He wouldn't grab the paper after us. Oh, yeah? Bible tells us that chastisement is for the children. Amen. Oh, yeah, He'll spank His. Amen. I'm not going to spank yours. I know Sister Lindsay told me I could spank Tara. And by the way, girls, now listen, y'all can talk, but that's going to pick it up. And so through the service, I'll hear it. Amen. I'm going to hear what Tara and Allie was saying. Amen. Woo. You wasn't saying anything about the preacher, was you? I'm telling you. Your mama said I could spank you. Amen. 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 You want that paper? Amen. And so I look here and I think about God's ways. You know His ways were made so that we could walk in them. He gave bread to be consumed. He gave us His way so that we could walk in it. And so I find as well with this bread that was given to the eater, I find here that it satisfies the consumer. It satisfies the consumer. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, I look here and I find that it was provided by God. Take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter number 107. Psalm 107. And I want you to look at verse number 1. And I've got several verses here I want to read to you. But Psalm 107, verse number 1. I want you to think about where you was as a lost person and how this world would just toss you about. And you thought you was going to be satisfied with this move or with that move or with this accomplishment or that accomplishment or this purchase or that purchase, and you never were satisfied. But notice Psalm 107, pick up in verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress. Is that not salvation? Yeah. Amen? And He delivered them out of their distress, and He led them forth by the right way. Amen? And that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. May I tell you, there's not a single one in here that hadn't been blessed by God physically. I'm not just talking about spiritually, I'm talking about physically. And then He goes on. Look at verse 9. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness. Well, what was that goodness? Bread to the eater. Bread to the eater. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of the Lord of God and contentment. I'm sorry, and contemned the counsels of the Most High. Take your Bibles, turn over to the book of John, chapter number 6. I'm thankful that He satisfies. It could even go to the fact that, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. He's always good. And His bread is that bread to the eater. It's the one that's going to satisfy. John chapter number 6 here, just to get you up into the context of everything. This is the passage of Scripture where Jesus fed the 5,000 with a couple of fish and a few loaves. Amen. And He fed them and they went on. And of course, He had sent them away. He walks on the sea. And then I look over here in verse number 26, in John chapter number 6. The people have came the next day, and they've seen Him on the shore. Notice verse 26. He says, Jesus answered and said, or answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek Me, not because ye saw the miracles, but notice this, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Go on over into verse number 29. Boy, I'm thankful. They were hungry, but it wasn't because they had seen the miracles that he had done. Listen to me. It was a miracle that he had fed so many off of so little. It was a miracle in what he had done. But it wasn't because of that, but they had tasted the bread. You remember that the water that was turned into wine in John chapter number 2, the very first miracle he had done in his earthly ministry. And boy, they were amazed. They said, this is the best that we've ever had. Oh, listen. They had the bread, and by the way, that wasn't fermented wine. And wine in the Bible is a representation of joy. And they said, this is the joy that we've never had before. We've never tasted anything like this. This was the bread of life. We've never had this before. But boy, it fills us and it satisfies us. Amen. Over in verse number 29 of John chapter number 6. And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? Did they not see the miracle? Amen. What doest thou work? Our fathers didn't eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now look at this. Look at verse number 32. And then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Who's the bread to the eater? Amen. In verse 34, he said, then said they unto him, Lord, even more give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Yesterday I was out finishing the weed eating at the house, and I'd already wrote both Sunday morning and Sunday night and had everything around and was just kind of meditating and chewing on some things. And God had brought up that prodigal son in my mind. And I was just kind of chewing on him a little bit. You say, preacher, what's so important about that? Well, do you remember when he left the father's house, he had plenty? His father had split the inheritance. He had sent him off, or allowed the son to go off. Amen. It's not that he sent the son sent himself. Amen. But he allowed him to go, and then I find him over there in that far country, out wasting everything that the father had given him. And he's there, and then there's this famine. Once he has nothing left, then there's this famine. And may I tell you, that's how it goes. Amen. When your pockets are empty, then comes the famine. Amen. And boy, he was hurting, and he had yoked up with the wrong crowd, and he's sitting there, and he's got the husk for the pigs to feed them. And you remember when the Bible tells us there in Luke chapter number 15, verse number 17, when he came to himself. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants does my father have that have bread? Bread. Now hold on. The verse doesn't just say bread. It goes on. And it says, and enough to spare. Huh. Amen. Now hold on. What did he go back for? He went back for the bread. He didn't go back for the fatted calf. He had no idea that the father was going to give the fatted calf. He didn't even go back for the robe. He didn't even go back for the ring. He didn't go back for the sandals on his feet. He went back for the bread because it was the bread that he was looking for. He said, in my father's house. Listen, the father sent down the bread from heaven. And I know who the bread of life is. Amen. Oh, listen, he satisfies every time. Oh, this world thinks that we need a new leader. This world thinks that we need a new agenda. This world thinks that we need new products. Oh, praise God, I need the one that's been since the foundation, the Lamb that was slain before the world was ever formed. Amen. And so I find here that as we look at this bread to the eater, we find as well that it strengthens the consumer. It strengthens the consumer. I think of it as milk to be desired. And the Bible tells us here in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. You know, it's sad to me at how many profess to be a child of God and have no desire for the word of God. It's how we know who God is. And by the way, it's how I know what I have in Him. Amen. Let's just go ahead and cut to the chase. He knows what He has in me. He got nothing. Amen. But I know what I have in Him, and I have everything. You know, it's funny. Anytime that we're going to look to go do something, you know what we do is we go look it up. We have great technology today as far as being able to look up all the goodies around an area. Amen. In fact, you want to know where you're going, or you want to know where to eat. It was funny the other day. We had went to the Jacksonville Zoo on Tuesday. We took Jeremiah, and John went with us. And you say, preacher, well, what was so important about that? Well, we had went and we'd looked up. We'd seen everything that we needed to do. We had everything around. Everything was already ready to go. And we had left early in the morning. I had even looked up, how long is it going to take us to get there? You say, preacher, well, Jacksonville hasn't moved. And I've drove to Jacksonville before, but you never know what road conditions are like. Amen. They could have all of a sudden been working in on another section of the interstate, and it changes a whole lot. Amen. So I went ahead and I GPS'd it. And, well, then we had also decided where we wanted to eat. Amen. You know, I didn't want to just go to Chick-fil-A there in Jacksonville. Amen. You say, preacher, why is that? Because we go to Chick-fil-A everywhere else. Praise God, let's go somewhere that's not around us. Amen. And you're going to say, well, so you went to a mom and pop shop? No. We went to Whataburger. Amen. Boy, they had those in Oklahoma. I loved Whataburger. Amen. It wasn't as expensive as it is now. Now it's expensive. But it's not as expensive as eating in the zoo. Amen. Zoo food's expensive. Amen. I mean, it costs a lot to have the squid and the, you know. That's right. Well, you know, Jeremiah was feeding the manta rays, and I couldn't get him to eat them. Amen. He didn't eat that. Amen. He didn't want that stinky fish. I don't know. But, we find all of that. Isn't it amazing? I mean, you're going to go somewhere. You're going to find out what all's there and what you can do. And, you know, even what the weather's going to be like. That's a good thought, isn't it? Amen. But yet, we say we love the Word of God, but we don't grow in it. And so I look at this bread, and it's strengthening bread. It starts off as milk to be desired, but then it turns into meat to strengthen. Amen. Brother Sutton was talking about his dad and the protein level that his dad was having. And we had mentioned that Wednesday night in prayer. Or no, it was. Yeah, it was. It was Wednesday night in prayer. And, you know, protein's necessary to build muscle. That's what it's for. Helps you build muscle. You say, preacher, I'm fine without having that. And you don't have to be a meat eater. You can get protein in other ways. And you can get it through peanuts. You can get it through several legumes. Even beans have some protein in it. Any of your beans will have protein in it. But also with that, you can get it from eggs. And I know you say, preacher, that's meat. You know, it kind of depends. Is it meat? It hadn't really became meat yet. Amen. But I don't know. Wherever you want to cut that line, but you can get protein from eggs. But you will become weak without protein. Physically weak. May I tell you what we become as a child of God without the bread of the Word of God? We become spiritually weak. Take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Hebrews. And look, if you would, at verse number, or chapter number 5, Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. And we look at this and we think about the meat to strengthen. Why did God give us this bread? It's to strengthen us. Now, I've never been a fan of just eating bread. And I don't know how it works, but God has done it to where if you'll eat bread, you're not going to be thirsty. Because He said that if you'll eat of this bread, you're not going to hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. Amen. I don't know how He does it, but He does it. And He supplies that because it's in Him and it's through Him. And so we look here at this meat for strengthening in Hebrews chapter number 5. Look at verse number 11. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so I find here that God has given us His word to where we can have some spiritual maturity about us. Some spiritual strength about us. Discerning both good and evil. Why are so many people falling prey to Satan's tricks? Why are so many falling to where there's this apostasy going on? Why is there such a falling away? It's amazing to me. And once again, it just irritates me when I find missionaries or evangelists that want to be chameleons. You say, preacher, what's that? It's the ones that fit into whatever crowd they're among. I cannot stand a preacher that goes from church to church, and if this church has certain standards, they've got those same standards. And then they come over here to this church, and this church doesn't have any standards, and they don't have any standards either. Praise God, stand somewhere. Amen. Now look here, and I find that God has given us this bread to the eater so that we can have some spiritual strength. Just because someone else is doing wrong doesn't mean we have to. Amen. And so I look here and I find it. You say, preacher, what's so important about it? Well, over in the book of Ephesians, and you don't have to turn there, but in verse number 21 of chapter 2. So if you're writing it down, it's Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up unto a holy temple in the Lord. Let me repeat that. He tells us here, in whom all the building, that means all of us, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. What's God doing? He's growing us to be more like Him. You ever, I don't know, maybe you've lifted weights, or maybe in high school. We used to have it in high school, especially if you was in football. You had to go and you had to lift weights. And then we had our gym class. If you was, depending on what sport was going on, if it was football and gym class, you didn't go and do all the other gym activities. No, you went and lifted weights because it was extra time. You'd go in the morning, before school, you'd lift weights. You'd lift weights at gym. And then after practice, if you needed to, they'd have you lifting weights again. And you know what I found? That it's just natural. That it doesn't matter what you're doing. They have these mirrors. Amen? And it doesn't matter if you're just curling dumbbells. Boy, that was one. Let me. Amen? You say, preacher, what are you getting at? You know what we need to do? We need to come to the place where we have sat down, and I don't know where I'm going. I've sat down here and I've just read me a little bit. I just read one verse. Let me come over here to the mirror. You say, preacher, isn't that prideful? No, hold on. My mirror is not really a mirror. but it's the image that God wants me to be in His Son. Amen? Boy, we ought to stand in front of that and go, whoo, do I look like Him? Let me read another verse here. Let me sit down. Hold on a second, Lord. I'll come back and look again. Is that not what we do on the physical sense? Boy, we want to make sure, hey, we're getting old. We want to make sure that everything's doing what it's supposed to. Brother James has even got his glasses here. I got to get me a lanyard now so that I don't lose my glasses. Amen? But shouldn't we consider the spiritual and want to look like Him? Boy, we take a bite of bread because He gave it to the eater. May I tell you, it's low calorie. Amen. But it's going to put us in His image. Why? Because it's not going to come back void. Amen. It's not empty. It's heavenly. It's not going to come back void. Boy, we ought to have that time. Instead of worried about the physical, we ought to have that time where we realize that He's just fitting us together into a holy temple. And He's doing it one bite at a time. Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, I thank You for Your love for us, that You've supplied our all. Lord, You've given bread to the eater. And Lord, I pray that You would help us tonight. Lord, that maybe there's some that not as satisfied right now. They've been tasting some of the world, and Lord, they think that that's the sweet tooth for them. But Lord, I'm thankful that Your bread's the only bread that satisfies. That old prodigal son, when he had wasted all that he had, realized that the bread was all he needed. And Lord, I'm thankful You're all I need. Would You help us today, Lord, that we'd rejoice in that bread that You've given to the eater. Let us consume it, Lord, on a faithful basis. Let us be faithful in Your word and in Your ways. And Lord, I pray, take this invitation, Lord, use it to Your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The music softly plays. Music softly plays. God spoke to your heart. It'd be a good time. Be a good time. Bread to the eater. Aren't you glad He knew your need? Had everything supplied. Bread to the eater.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ.
What are you needing today? Shouldn't need anything but some bread.
By leaning on His bosom, so for a moment may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love Him? How I
I'm thankful
and adore Him.
That He's invited me.
I can
consume it.
No way,
then I'm thankful that He strengthens me. That I can discern it.
And
good
did
and
I mention He's been faithful?
That I can
to
be more
every promise He ever made. How many songs can be sung about God's Son? worship and adore Him. When I can see the way, He makes a way. And did I mention He's been faithful to every promise He ever made?
Thank everyone for coming. Don't forget to continue to promote the YouTube. It'd still be nice to have 1,000 subscribers. Yes, I figured out a way to go around it, but you never know when that door will get shut. Amen. So let's go ahead and keep trying to promote it. Also with that, next Sunday, we start Sunday school back up. So 10 o'clock, we'll be here for Sunday school, and do have it to where we've got the Sunday school classes ready to go. And we'll be rip roaring, ready to go, and so I'm excited about it. Do pray for it, and then also you pray for the safety of the church as we open up. My whole goal and my whole desire has been for us to be able to stay in church and keep going, and we'll bring it up as we can, and I'm a firm believer, and let's have it trickle up. All right, I don't want to.